Good morning. If you're cold, tell those ushers to close the doors. It's okay, Noah. I think the ushers do all the running around and they get themselves hot. And there sits Mary by the window. Right? Are you cold back there? Okay. The window's open behind you, that's all. Well, I'm going to give you a short sermon, and at the end, you're going to share with us. So, to prepare you for that, I'm just going to put three questions on the overhead here. Pick one that you can answer in a sentence. Got that? I'm going to cut you off if you go on for 5 minutes. If you go telling long stories, this isn't the place for it. Do that in your house group. A sentence. All right? Now, later on, we'll have time for this. And visitors, if you're here for the first time, you picked a great Sunday to find out who this church is. We're going to learn about ourselves, and other people are going to learn about you. So, really easy. Pick one of these that you can answer. When you say that you believed in Jesus, what is it that you believed? What did you believe? So you ought to be able to answer that with a question. Like, what was the key thing that God got a hold of your life? And you ought to be able to answer in one sentence something like, I believe that Jesus blank. Okay? There's something that really got a hold of you. When you became a follower of Jesus, who? A person. I know we read the Bible and we follow Jesus. But Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus said, you go and make disciples of all men, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Jesus didn't say, you go and tell them to follow me. He said, you go and you make disciples. So Jesus didn't get a bullhorn out of heaven and start a big megaphone conference with the world. He sent us one by one. So a person somewhere has been involved in your life. When you became a follower of Christ, who? There might have been three people. You don't have time for that today. Just pick one, okay? There might have been 20 people. But just make sure that everybody has a chance to share. One person, you can answer in a sentence like, my friend John, my dad, my mom, my uncle, always gave me an example of someone who, what? Laid down their life for others, of someone who died to self, of someone who, whatever it was for you. And lastly, find out about this church. When you visited West Coast Christian Fellowship, what was it that influenced you to stay here? There's lots of good churches. I mean, all over Vancouver, there's wonderful churches. What is it that God joined you together with this lot of people for? All right? So those three questions. You got a pen and paper? Everybody needs a paper. Because if you try to just say this, you're going to ramble. And then you're going to be embarrassed because I'm going to cut you off. Pick one. If you're not a member of this church, don't pick the last one. No, just kidding. Pick one. Hopefully, maybe pick two in case too many people pick one. But anyway, you'll have a chance to share once. You won't share twice unless every single person, including Carolyn, has shared. Sorry to pick on you, Carolyn. All right. Oh, you need that back on? All right. That's every single person, including Neil Goodman, has shared. Got that, Neil? Pick one. All right? You might have to move over by your dad so you can see what it is. He's going to be on his toes now because we're going to wake him up later. All right. He's going to say, what influenced me to become to join this congregation? My mom and dad had me. And I was already in this church. I didn't have a choice. When I get older, I'll choose. Sorry, Neil. All right. So, pick one. We'll have time later on. Now that you're all thinking about that, I'll redirect us. This week has been quite the week for our city. Somebody got gunned down in Surrey this week. A bunch of guys with machine guns gunned somebody else down in Langley. Last night, a young couple was walking past Granville Island, and an 18-year-old, possibly drunk, mowed them down, and they're both dead. And while you were sleeping, Langley had an earthquake. Did those of you out in Langley area feel the earthquake? People in Maple Ridge said they did. No? Rhea and Lindsay didn't feel it? Some things are beyond our control. Our world seems to be beyond our control. The stock markets are beyond our control. The statistics about job losses and companies closing down and the ability for you and I to control the companies that we work for and our jobs. Now, wait, how does that apply to me? Anyway, if I was in that kind of a corporation, that would apply to me eventually. Never mind, we won't get off on a tangent here this morning. Our world is beyond our control. But the King is on the throne. The King of Kings, he's called. The Lord of Lords is on the throne. God looks at the plans of man and he doesn't tremble. He's in control. Jesus said that from the days of John the Baptist until his day, and from the days of John the Baptist until our day, the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. Regardless of what's happening in the news and the media, what's affecting our daily lives, the eternal kingdom of God is marching on forcefully. And forceful people are laying hold of the kingdom, and the kingdom is growing by leaps and bounds. What started with Jesus and 12 disciples has grown into thousands and thousands and thousands of people as the kingdom is embraced by more and more people around the world. The kingdom continues to grow. Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. No gunman prevails against the gates of the church. No earthquake prevails against your belief, your salvation, your eternal security in Jesus. No stock market crash, no loss of job, no loss of house, no loss of income, no loss of dignity can separate you from the love of Jesus. We serve the King of Kings. He's in charge. And his kingdom is marching on. His kingdom is well and good. In fact, his kingdom is so amazing, Jesus said that he would build a church that hell could not prevail against. A church. That is, a gathering of God's people corporately who follow him. Not West Coast Church. His church worldwide. All the different places that people meet to worship God is his people. His people will not be prevailed upon by the gates of hell. In fact, that church is so amazing that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, God's intention is that now through the church, through us, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. The angels are peering out of heaven. Gabriel's nudging Michael, saying, look at Derek down there. Look at Linda Whitting. Look what she's doing. Look at Marie Kong. Look what she's doing. The rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms are watching the wisdom of God be unfolded through his people. His kingdom's wonderful. The good news of Jesus is everything. It captured our hearts, didn't it? There was something that captured us and caused us to say, I surrender all. I relinquish control of all of my life. I give you control, Lord. I follow you. That same good news is good news for our neighbors. It's good news for our workmates, our schoolmates, our families. That same good news that's worth all of your life is worth all of their life. God's kingdom is advancing. And as a church, he's been speaking to us about his kingdom growing in our midst. That the kingdom is like a mustard seed. When it's planted, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. The kingdom is like yeast. When it touches your life, it is this pervasive force that takes over everything about you and permeates your whole being. You don't become a person who tries to look like Jesus, who tries to do all the good things or all the right things. You don't become a person who has a new rule book and now you tick off the list. Did I obey? Did I obey? But instead, the kingdom takes over your life and you simply live out the life of Christ. You begin to look like Jesus. You naturally keep his word. You naturally want to obey him. Your heart is for him. And increasingly, he takes over larger and larger areas of our mind and our will until we become more and more and more like Jesus. The kingdom is growing. And God wants our congregation to be involved in the harvest. All the churches of Vancouver, all the churches of Canada, all the churches of the world, God wants us, his people, to be participating in seeing others come to this good news and the kingdom forcefully advancing. There's lots of things that are involved, but we'll just look at three this morning. Three things that every growing church has. Everywhere where God's kingdom is advancing forcefully, there's three things going on. First of all, there's the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. After the Gospels, the four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find the next book is Acts. The person beside you doesn't have a Bible, you can slide over and share yours. Acts chapter 1. If you're in Psalms, turn to the right a few pages. If you're in Revelations, turn to the left. If you get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, turn to the right one book. Now the disciples have hung out with Jesus for 3 years. They left their fishing nets. They followed him around with his teaching. They saw his miraculous signs. They saw people healed. In fact, these guys, not just the 12, but 72, had been sent out to do the same things. And they came back and said to Jesus, "Hey, guess what? The people that we laid hands on, they were healed. Hey, Jesus, guess what? The people that we spoke in your name, the demons ran and these guys were set free." They had experienced this. And they had seen Jesus crucified. In fact, when he was crucified, they all deserted him. Even bold Peter, who said, "No, no, I'll never deny you." 3 times he denied him. And then there was rumors that he had risen from the dead. And Thomas, one of the 12, says, "No, I ain't going to believe that. Not unless I see him myself. Not unless I put my hands where his nails were. I'm not going to believe it." And merciful Jesus appeared to Thomas and showed him, and he put his hands, "Believe, it is I." And for 40 days, Jesus, after the resurrection, revealed himself to over 500 people and said, "I really am alive." They had witnessed all of this. And yet there is one thing that they needed to grow. One thing to fulfill the mandate of making disciples of all nations. And Jesus comes to them right before he returns to heaven. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up into heaven. Jesus, having told them everything for 3 years, having taken them with him, having taught them his ways, said, "You're not ready until you have the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, you'll have power to witness." It's of utmost importance. So much so that if we were to go on today, we won't take the time. You go on to Acts chapter 8 sometime. Read about Philip doing mighty miraculous deeds. People are getting healed. Miracles are happening in Samaria. People believe and they follow Jesus. They're baptized. They're saying, "I wash my sins away. Take away my old life. I'm going to live for Jesus now." And they're baptized. And when news reached the apostles back in Jerusalem, they sent Peter and John to go to Samaria. Why? So that they would have the Holy Spirit. And when Peter and John arrived in Samaria and laid their hands on them, they spoke in tongues. They received the power of the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the life of God in a new and powerful way that they didn't have when they just believed. The power of the Holy Spirit is needed if a church is going to grow, if a kingdom is going to advance, if a church is going to experience the life of Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit is needed in our lives. 120 people got together for a prayer meeting after Jesus said this. And they waited for days until finally the Holy Spirit came on them. Isn't it amazing? Jesus didn't sit down and give them a seminar on how to share the gospel. Jesus didn't sit down and teach them some methods of what to say. Point 3, 4, 5, 6. Jesus just said, "Guys, go hang out together until the Holy Spirit comes." We need the Holy Spirit. More than anything else, we need the Holy Spirit. We don't need to psych ourselves up and get the courage to knock on somebody's door. We don't need to sit down and have Bible studies for 5 weeks to learn how we're going to say it in just the right way so they believe. Listen, this news about Jesus captured me. It has taken over my life. It is worth everything for me to live for Him. I don't need 5 points to pass it on to somebody else. They just need the Holy Spirit to come and touch them through me. Right? We need to pray like the disciples. Oh God, pour out your Spirit. We need to wait on God. God, would you fill us with your Spirit? When the group meets on Tuesday morning together with Fred, we need to pray, give us your Spirit. When they meet with Maria Kong on Wednesdays, is it? Do you guys still do that? You need to pray, give us your Spirit. When the group meets with Martin and others on Monday nights every other week, give us your Spirit. When house groups meet, when the performing arts group meets, when Andrew's concert meets, when we get together in people's homes, we need to say, God, fill us with your Spirit. We need you. The amazing thing about this is Jesus called it a gift. It wasn't something they earned. It wasn't that the disciples had been bad boys and hadn't received it yet. It was simply Jesus wanted them to understand this wasn't from themselves. This isn't something you're going to get because you're holy enough. It's a gift God gives, but you do need it. Every church, if we're going to be involved in the kingdom growing, needs the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we need the message of the King. The message of the King. Not my message. Not your message. Not another person's message. The message of the King. Why did Jesus say so often, "I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do." Why did Jesus go away in the evenings up on the hillsides and pray to find out, to hear? We need the message of the King. We need to seek Him and speak His word to others. The message of the King, Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That would be a couple of books to your right. If you get to all the T's, you went too far. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. And the message is actually in verse 3 and 4, but we'll start in verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel, the good news that I preached to you, which you received and which you have taken your stand on. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Here's the gospel. Simple, easy points. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Number two, that He was buried. Number three, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And number four, that He appeared to Peter and to the 12, and after that to more than 500 brothers, and on and on and on He goes. What's the gospel? That Jesus died for our sins. That Jesus really was buried. He was good and dead. He took our sins to the grave. He left them behind and was raised from the dead. He didn't just take our sins and stay dead. Some people always look at a cross with Jesus hanging on it and they always think about Him dying. But don't stop there. He rose from the dead. He paid for our sins. He was the sacrifice for our sins. And He lives to give us life evermore. He lives to be at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. He lives to send us His power, to send us His answer, to provide for us the name of Jesus, the name that is above all other names, the name that breaks the gates of hell, the name that sends the demons fleeing, the name that sends sickness and disease fleeing from our bodies. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is alive. He is alive. He is the King now. Not He used to be. Not He did some good stuff back then. But He is now. Jesus died for our sin is the first message. The message that we have for our friends is the King's message. Friend, Jesus died for your sin. Oh, that's offensive. You calling me a sinner, buddy? Yes, me too. He died for our sins. You think I did wrong things? Of course, I did too. You don't look like Jesus, man. Okay, if you don't look like Jesus, you're sinning. You just don't act like Jesus. Why? Because we're fallen people. So you think I'm bad? I do lots of good things. Yeah, I know, but you're going to hell, man. Jesus paid for it, so you don't have to go to hell. That's our message to our friends. The message is the King's message. You see, we are called, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, we are called to be ambassadors of the King. It's as though the King has sent us as ambassadors to make His appeal to the world. World, be reconciled to the King. Come back to Father. And Paul says that we are God's ambassadors. God is making His appeal to the world, not with a megaphone, but with us. His life in us touches our co-workers and says, friend, come back to Father. But it's His message. We're just ambassadors. We are called to be ambassadors, reporters, heralds, announcers, but we are not parliament. We do not decide. We are the ambassador who was sent from Parliament. We are the ambassador who was sent from King. It's not our message. Get mad at my nation all you want. It's not me. It's the King that said this. How is it that an ambassador can live in an enemy country sometimes and not get killed? Because the enemy country might be angry with his country, but he's just the neighbor down the road, bringing communication back and forth between nations. That's our job. Sometimes we get caught in the crossfire, I know. But most of the time we don't. So many people are angry with the king. They don't want to surrender to his authority. They've misunderstood his loving heart. They've judged him. They've critiqued him. They've stood outside. They've looked at him and said, "What are you doing this for? You're the big, powerful nation. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If I was in your shoes, I wouldn't let that guy get sick. If I was in your shoes, I wouldn't let those guys in Langley mow those guys down with machine guns. What's with you, God? I thought you're all powerful." There are lots and lots of people around us who are angry with our government, angry with our nation. But we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And that's my nation. And it's my job as an ambassador to say, no, you don't understand. He didn't hand him a machine gun and tell him to blow him away. He offered the guy life, and the guy wouldn't take life. And so he's got a messed up life, and he went and blew people away. You calling that his fault? He offered him Jesus, and he rejected it. And that's why he's so wicked. Now, what about you? You going to turn out that way too? Oh, no, you're not going to mow people down. You're just going to divorce your wife, aren't you? Huh? You don't have to. Come back to Father. He's got a great plan for you. Stop judging him like that. That's our job. We're ambassadors. We're the ones who bring the message. But it's not our message. We are not the parliament. I like the way my uncle always says it. My uncle Dan, who's a truck driver in Oregon, he always says, "Jesus did not call me to be a lawyer or a judge. He called me to be the witness." Jesus did not call me to be the lawyer or the judge. He's the judge. Lots of people down here try to be the lawyer and decide what he ought to do. We're neither. Our job is to be a witness. Guess what? He here is alive. Guess what? He changed my life. Guess what? I used to be this and now I'm this. You can too. Come, follow me as I follow Christ. Guess what? Jesus does love you. Yeah, I know your mom died, but guess what? He still loves you. That's our message. Every growing church has the power of the Holy Spirit and the message of the King. And thirdly, the life of the King. The touchable, tangible, authentic life of the King in the midst of the congregation. Every growing church can be tasted and touched and felt and seen to be real. They have the life of the King among them. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, "The world will know you're my followers by your love for each other." The world will know that you're my disciples by your love. If you're with a group of people that don't love one another, you're not with the church. The most amazing thing about being in the church is that you get the opportunity to see people wrong each other and then say, "I forgive you." Whoa. My neighbors don't do that. I'm telling you, they don't. The stuff I've seen in the church of people saying, "Oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. I blew it. Would you forgive me?" And the person honestly giving forgiveness and the two of them going on their merry way, friends again, that's normal Christian living. It doesn't happen in my neighborhood. Husbands and wives who actually do disagree on lots of stuff. I mean, people think that somehow we're going to get married and go happily ever after because we chose the right one. It doesn't work that way. Whoever you choose isn't in heaven yet. They've just got some of the first fruits of Jesus. The other 90% is all messed up. And what's worse is your 91% is messed up too. And when the two of you get together, you clash. And it's not just that we're messed up. It's that we're made differently in the body of Christ. But we're so used to being so self-centered and thinking that everything ought to be my way that when we get put with somebody else who's different, we have to learn that actually maybe God did make that person a little bit different and that's His doing. And it's okay. That doesn't happen in my world. But it happens in the church all the time. The church is a wonderful place where the authentic life of Christ can be touched, can be felt. Where people can see that, wait a minute, they don't hang out just because they're all on the same cricket team. They don't even have anything in common, some of these people. What are they doing downstairs having Sunday lunch together? What's that young person like Carolyn sitting there beside that red-headed lady talking to her for? And what's she doing that for? They don't have enough in common. She's in high school. She's got a bunch of kids running around making noise on the front row. What was that?
That's our baby.
Ah! Why would you hang out in a church where the pastor blames you for somebody else's baby? Oh. The power of the Holy Spirit must be in our lives. The message of the King must be on our lips. And the life of the King must be evident in our midst. And it is. It's wonderful. The church is so awesome. It's a place that we can invite our friends into and know that they'll experience the same thing that we've experienced. I've been walking in the church for 24 or 5 years as a believer, and 18 years before that as a kid that had to go with his parents. And the church is a wonderful place. It's a place where God's love is evident in all different kinds of people and all different walks of life. Now, we're going to tell a few of your stories. It's important because it's important to understand what is it that actually touched different people and brought them to a relationship with Jesus. And when we understand that, it will help us when we're talking to our neighbors and our friends and saying, listen, this is for you too. Yeah, but I'm not like you, Dave. I know, but you're like Art. I know a guy just like you. He likes those 50-page documents. Yes, he does. You talk to another guy, he says, oh, I'm not like you. I know, you're like Tony Sands. Yep, he likes looking at the moon too, all these satellite stuff. He enjoys that stuff. All right, what's your stories? We're going to take a little bit of time here. The first question was, oh, Derek, can we have that mic? And you just find people? Derek will bring you the microphone. Why don't you grab Carolyn before she leaves?
Yeah.
It's okay, Carolyn, don't worry. All right. A one-sentence answer. When you believed in Jesus, what was the message that you believed? Aiden, you know what? If we can't always do the mic, just shout it out because it might take too long to run all over. Okay, you have to be loud. Now it is.
Okay. I was very young, but what I believed was, or what I knew about Jesus, is that, how come I can't find it? Oh, here it is. I believed that Jesus rescued me from the devil, who was chasing me and often catching me and trapping me.
Very good. One sentence, that Jesus rescued me from the devil, who was chasing me and catching me. Aiden, just go for it. Very good. Somebody else, what did you believe?
His teachings.
The teachings of Jesus.
I believe in Jesus that he is the one who lowered my blood pressure.
Yes.
I thank him.
Okay.
I believed, once I got saved, I believed that he loved me more than anybody else had ever loved me. And he still loves me and always loves me.
Yes. He loved me more. Somebody else. Just go for it. You got a good voice.
I believe that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life.
That he was the way, the truth, and the life. Good. John.
I became a Christian when I was 25 years old. I suddenly realized that I was very, very sinful, and I'm still very sinful. And I believe that he saved me from my sin, and he's going to continue to save me from my sin.
Very good. Somebody else?
When I read the gospel, I believed it.
When he read the gospel, you believed it. Good. Mike.
When I first believed, I realized that life is worth living and far beyond anything we can imagine. God blesses us over and abundantly.
Okay.
I believe that he existed, and he is who he claims to be in the world.
That he existed and is who he claimed to be. Very important. Good. Diane.
I was in awe that there really was a God who was interested in me.
Yes. Lindsay, and then we'll go on to the next question. Okay, Paul, and then Lindsay.
It's based on a revelation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and I realized it wasn't something. He was somebody.
Right.
I believe that Jesus would walk with me, or did walk with me.
Right.
Derek?
Okay. Wolf?
I believe that he died for me because he loved me so much and he wants us to be followers of him.
Very good. Very good. When you became a follower of Christ, who was there a person that gave you an example to follow? And what was it? Steve.
Example from a young man named Speeway, who gave an example of me as one who met with God daily.
Okay.
I had a friend years ago who lived the life of Christ. She was a single parent with a son, and everything she did was focused around Jesus.
It was Pastor Birch, Bob Birch, that taught us to search God's Word and to wait for his Holy Spirit to speak to us daily.
Mm. Okay.
It was a kind pastor and his integrity, because what he preached, his life showed it, like how he treated other people and stuff. And it softened my heart to conviction from the Holy Spirit that I was a sinner.
Okay. A kind pastor and lived what he preached.
Yes. I really believe that it was my mother that, what he's called, set me up. I remember the age of 6, she took me to church. I think it was a Catholic church because there were nuns there. And though she never went to church, I found out how she believed in Christ by when she died, I opened the chest that I never had opened of hers before and found these Bibles in it. So, but she never possessed going to church.
Okay, your mother. Elizabeth. Oh, sorry.
My mom, she taught me that no matter how difficult life gets, that God can get you through it.
Very good.
My pastor and my house fellowship leader, they always told me that let us bring everything to God.
And Angela's right in front there.
As a little girl, I saw my mother and my brother that was 8 years older than me praying so devoutly. And it's with so much passion and being so peaceful. I just wanted some of that.
Mm.
Margaret Birch is one significant person in my life who's given me an example to follow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the... Oh, all right, two more over here, a couple more, and then we'll go to the next one.
This is Verena, and she just, the way that she talked to Jesus...
For me, it was probably doing morning devotions with my mom as a teacher.
Mm-hmm. When I first came to the church, Johannes and Susan Visser discipled me in the way of the Lord, and that was fundamental in my growth.
Mm-hmm. At the top, we got Brooke. Okay, very good. Just 1 minute.
So friends I had... Oh, I can talk quite loud. But for, you can hear me?
For the recording, it'd be good.
Yeah, we'd like to record
you more. Okay. I had some friends who I thought were so religious. And they were very, very good friends. And their father was the pastor here before Pastor Birch. And so they were my example. And I thought, I'm pretty good. But they had something I didn't have. They had the Lord. And so they were the ones I followed, and I followed their father for many years, for a few years, and came to know what it meant to be a Christian, a really Christian, not just a good person.
Mm. Thank you. Very good. Thank you. So there's many, many good churches, even in one city, let alone the whole wide world. Why are you hanging out here?
I'm going to answer all three in less than a minute. At that pivotal point of believing in Jesus, what it was that I believed is I actually believed at one point in time that he was, I believed that he was raised from the dead. And and Tony and Verena and their whole family have, the Lord has worked through them and spoke to us. When we walked in here, this church, the first day, there was a sincerity in the people, and that I believe that they truly cared for us, loved us.
When we came from Switzerland to Vancouver 27 years ago, we were looking for a church, and this was the seventh one that we looked at, and Tony and I, when we left, we knew this was it. It was the Holy Spirit was here, and this was family.
Behind you.
Our family decided to come here because we talked to Pastor Borman for a year about changing churches, and we talked to our other pastor about changing churches, and we made a covenant decision with those two pastors to commit ourselves to this church. No matter what happened, and our covenant has kept us here.
I could say that it was because it was walking distance from where we moved into, but in all honesty, it was after, for myself, 32 years of knowing God, there was no other church, and it was true for Mia too, there was no other church in our experience where we felt like we knew people after just the second Sunday. Just felt like home.
Derek?
But I needed David to translate it. Lorsque je suis venu dans cette congrégation,
when I came into this congregation,
contrairement à ce que les gens croient,
contrary to what people believe,
ce n'est pas Barney qui m'a influencé de venir dans cette église.
It wasn't Barney who influenced me to come to this church.
Ce n'est pas.
It was not.
Ce n'est pas Brother Barney qui m'a influencé de venir ici. C'était Dieu.
It was God.
J'ai croisé Barney à l'aéroport.
I met Barney at the airport.
Là où j'ai travaillé.
Where I worked.
Et il m'a même invité de venir ici dans cette église.
And he invited me here.
Je suis venu ici.
I came.
Mais pour être membre de cette église,
but to be a member of this church,
il s'est passé une année.
It took a year.
À partir du moment où on s'est vu avec Barney.
From the moment I came with Barney.
J'ai commencé à prier.
I began to pray.
Je disais à Dieu, montre-moi l'église où je dois être.
I said to God, show me the church I should go to.
Je sais que je suis dans l'église où j'ai trouvé mon épouse et les enfants. Je sais que je suis actuellement dans l'église où j'ai trouvé mon épouse et les enfants.
Yes,
I know that I found my wife and the kids in one church. But is this my church?
Yeah.
I ask God like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Je sais, j'ai demandé à Dieu, est-ce que c'est ça mon église?
I asked if this was my church.
Et je priais ça.
And I prayed that.
Tous les jours.
Every day.
Il n'y avait pas de réponse.
No response.
Je priais toujours.
Prayed for a long time.
Pas de réponse.
No response.
Mais un jour,
but one day,
j'ai fait un rêve.
I had a dream.
J'ai quitté dans l'église où j'ai trouvé mon épouse.
I had left the church where I found my wife.
Et c'était vers 2 heures du matin quand j'ai fait ce rêve-là.
It was around 2 o'clock in the morning.
Et j'ai réveillé directement mon épouse.
We're more than one sentence, so we got to...
I woke my wife.
Je lui dis, oh, je viens de faire un rêve.
I just had a dream.
J'ai quitté l'église là.
I left the church there.
Ok, et puis on est resté. On a continué à vivre et rester dans l'église.
We stayed in the church.
Après deux ou trois mois encore,
after two or three more months,
j'ai fait encore un rêve.
I had a dream.
Le même rêve. J'ai quitté l'église.
The same dream. I've left the church.
Et j'ai demandé à Dieu au songe là-bas. J'ai demandé à Dieu.
I asked God about that dream.
Donnez-moi les signes.
Give me a sign.
Si c'est vous qui voulez que je quitte cette église.
If you want me to leave this church.
Et Dieu m'a dit,
God said,
va voir le pasteur.
Go see the pastor.
Va lui dire que tu quittes l'église.
Tell him you're leaving the church.
S'il se fâche,
if he's angry,
c'est le signe.
That's a sign.
Et c'est ce que j'ai fait.
That's what I did.
Je suis allé voir le pasteur.
I went to see the pastor.
Je lui ai dit, ok, pasteur, merci beaucoup de me recevoir dans votre église.
I said, thank you for having me in your church.
Ma famille aussi.
My family as well.
Mais aujourd'hui, je viens vous dire que je vais quitter dans cette église.
But today I've come to tell you I'm leaving.
Quand j'ai dit ces mots au pasteur de cette église,
when I said these words to the pastor,
le pasteur était très fâché.
He was angry.
Non, 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 non.
No, no.
Vous venez maintenant détruire l'œuvre de Dieu. You come now to destroy the effort of the God. Puisque,
the work of God.
Oui, puisque vos enfants chantent dans cette église.
Because your children sing in this church.
Si toi tu quittes,
if you leave,
les enfants aussi vont quitter.
The children will leave.
Alors, si je suis dans cette congrégation,
so if I'm in this congregation,
c'est Dieu lui-même qui m'a montré cette église.
It's God himself who showed me.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I'm guilty of showing favoritism. I allowed more than one sentence, but Margaret tells me it takes more in French.
The first time I came to West Coast, I was really impressed by people who greeted me like they had known me for a year instead of a second, and the fact that they sang the songs like they really believed the words they were singing. Especially my future wife who had invited me that day.
We joined West Coast in 1984, and the reason we joined is because they had an ACE school here, and our kids had attended an ACE school at another church in Vancouver, and the only way that our children could attend the ACE school here, you had to join the church. And so that's why how we initially came here.
That sounds kind of manipulative.
When we were baptized in the Holy Spirit in Winnipeg, our family church there were not too happy with us. But God moved us to Vancouver, and after searching for 5 weeks, we stepped in here, and we felt
so welcome and so loved, and we tested the Word of God, and we knew this was the place.
Amen. Well, let's stop there. Over lunch, we can share some more stories and talk about what brought you to Jesus, who the people are that discipled you, and how it is that you landed here. But all of these give us a picture of who we are and what it is that has caused us to come together in God's timing. It's the same ingredients that God uses in our neighbors and our co-workers and our friends. So wherever we are, we should be looking for, Lord, who is it that you want me to give your message to? Lord, fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit to invite these people to join this incredible church, not this incredible church, His incredible church worldwide. Lord, who is it? How are you going to join this person? But every single person in the world would be better in His church. Every single person in the world will have life in His church. This amazing group that the gates of hell don't prevail against. This amazing group of imperfect people that have learned to walk together in forgiveness and grace. God has a wonderful church. And it's not just good for us. It's good for everybody who we meet. It's the best thing. It's like saying, hey, did you know they're selling apple pie over there? It's the best. Come with me. Oh, yeah, they got cherry pie at the Baptist church. Yeah, that's good, too. Whatever your flavor is. But come into God's church. Come into the kingdom and enjoy His presence. And for us who are covenanted together here as a church, as a congregation, we need to pray, God, fill us with your Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because all that we're talking about sounds so simple to talk to our neighbors, but Jesus didn't think it was simple. These guys who hung out with him day and night for 3 years didn't have enough until they had the Holy Spirit. It's not about some formula to say the right words. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Derek, you're going to lead us in breaking of bread. And I just want to say for any of you who are visiting, if you say Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, join us in breaking bread together. Just hold it. Sorry. Derek?
Sorry. Life of the King. The life of the King. Dave, is it okay if just before we actually do the breaking of bread, could we just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come in power? Thank you. You just said we're going right into communion. I thought we have some time. Can we just take a minute, because this is truth. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit if we want to walk out of this place and advance God's kingdom. So can I just ask, if you want to stay seated or stand up, can we all together, and I do this with my kids in school sometimes, and they prefer praying all together, that way nobody can hear what they're praying, and they just all pray, which is kind of fun. But can we all pray at the same time? Let's just ask the power of God to come. Ask God's Holy Spirit to fill us. Ask God's presence to just come and dwell right here. Jesus, we just give ourselves to you, Lord. We say, Holy Spirit, come, Lord. We thank you that you have made a way through to the throne, and we thank you that you have given us your Spirit. Lord, you have given us your Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would walk in the power of your Spirit. Lord, enable us and strengthen us to walk in the power of your Spirit. Jesus, we pray, and we pray that you would empower us and enable us to be the reporters, the ambassadors, the messengers for you, Lord, because what you are saying, what your message is good news. It is good news. We want to celebrate that good news together this morning. And if there is anybody here that has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, it is very simple. It is very simple. Jesus died. He was buried and he rose again. And you just have to admit that you can't and you need him, that you have sinned and he can forgive you. He does forgive you when you go to him. So if you have come here this morning and you have not done that, you have not given yourself to Jesus, don't leave before you do that. And you know what? We would love it if you would talk to somebody. Talk to one of our pastors, talk to one of our elders, talk to one of our prayer team. They would pray with you. They would bless you in the name of Jesus. And all those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're going to celebrate what he has done this morning. We're going to celebrate that.
by celebrating the Lord's Supper. Could I get everybody who I've asked to hand out the bread and the wine to come up? Ask the worship team to come up. This is a great time of celebration. God has done great things. God has done great things. And can we just hold on to the bread and the juice just until everybody gets it? And we're going to partake of this together.